Amen. It's been good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Appreciate that good singing. I had this song come on my heart. I'm not going to try to sing it tonight. I'd just like to read the words, because sometimes when we sing it, it seems like we get caught more, I guess, in the melody or the maybe our minds wander back to who used to sing it or something like that. This song means so much to me. As I began to study God's Word more and more, I began to listen to some older preachers that had done died and went on to be with the Lord. And there was a radio broadcast, and it was come out on the Internet too, so you could, if you missed radio, you could go on the Internet and listen to some of these men and try to glean from them. Some of them died even before I was born, things like that. But this was the theme song on that radio broadcast, and every time it'd come on, whether I agreed with the message or not, I always could agree with the song. And it just says, I love to tell the story. And I'm glad that this old song, I believe somebody here used to sing, says, oh no, the old story will never grow old. How Jesus came and died for my soul. And this goes sort of along that line, but I want you to hear the words of it real quick. It says, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me. And that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have heard, that I have loved so long. And the chorus says, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. That's a good song. You know what? I love to tell the story. I hope and pray that when we leave this building, we love to tell people about Jesus. Where would we be without Him? Where would we be without Him? I sort of tore between two scriptures tonight. I'm just going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on service and try to make sure that we're where we need to be tonight on the scripture right beside one another, and just can't seem to get clear on where He'd have us to be. But it's good to have you tonight, and I appreciate the spirit I've been able to feel tonight. It's not always in the number, but it's in the humbleness of the heart, and I appreciate that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You once again. We thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your mercy, Lord, allowing us to be in Your house one more time. I thank You, Lord, for our members and our visitors alike. And Lord, I thank You, Lord, for the spirit we've been able to feel tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, You'd bless all the revivals going on, Lord. Some good close preacher friends of ours, and others, Lord, we may not be as close to, but Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, we're all on the same team, Lord, trying to see people saved. And I pray, God, that You'd bless them and give them souls for the hire and would hear good news, Lord, from a far country. And I pray, Lord, and we thank You, Lord, for all the news we have heard for those that's been saved in recent weeks. And Lord, I pray the churches would do our best to disciple those that's been saved and to help get them into Your Word. I pray, Lord, tonight You'd touch every heart that's here. Help us all find our place in this meeting, and Lord, what it is You'd have for us to do. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for what you did at Calvary. Where would we be, Lord, if it wasn't for you? And I pray, God, you'd always help us to remember that. Lord, we'd be nothing, Lord, if it wasn't for you. That's what Paul said. Such a great preacher, Lord, but he'd been nothing, Lord, if it wasn't for you. And I'm thankful, Lord, you've allowed us this time together around your house with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we've come tonight looking to see somebody get saved or someone draw closer to you. Lord, if anything's accomplished in this meeting tonight, we'll do our best, Lord, to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for it all. For us in Jesus' name, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Amen. You pray for just a moment. I'm going to start reading in the book of Acts tonight, chapter 9. All afternoon I've been studying chapter 8. I guess the last 20-something verses I was studying. Just seemed like felt like that's what was on our heart. And I got here and kept reading, and it just seemed like it just flowed over into 9 and kept reading 9. And the Lord began to just stick this little phrase out here, and this is what we're going to go with tonight. That's what I feel like we need to do. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word tonight. Chapter 9 of the book of Acts, starting at verse 1. The Bible said, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then Saul was certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Now I believe that'd be all that we read tonight. You pray for just a few moments tonight, but I know this story here is very familiar when we begin to talk about Saul here. This was Saul, Paul's name before his name was changed to Paul, where this this was Saul of Tarsus. This was the one that was persecuting the church. And it'd be real easy tonight to preach about Saul's conversion if you'd have it. But there was a statement made in verse 6 where the Bible said, "And he trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." If there was one thing I believe that all Christians would want to know tonight is, Lord, what is it you'd have me to do? Whether you're a preacher, a singer, or a play instrument, or a Christian, whatever it might be, if we truly care about what the Lord wants out of us, there ought to be a place in our heart that asks the question, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Amen. And I thought about this as we read this scripture this afternoon, that the Lord began to tell him to rise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Before we find out what God wants us to do, we've got to do what he says to do first. Amen. I would like to know, and there's times in my Christian walk that I wanted to know what God wanted me to do. But he left us a book called the Holy Bible. Praise the Lord. It gives us instructions about what God wants us to do. Amen. And it seems a little silly, I guess, to ask God what he'd have us to do if we're not already at least trying to do what he left us in his holy word. Amen. I've had people ask me, I said, "Well, do you believe that I need to be saved? What do you believe God would have me to do?" And you know, I've thought so many times, there's so many questions about what a sinner needs to do to be saved. And they've had questions. They went and talked to people. But God made it clear in his word that if they wanted to be saved, that they need to repent of their sins and ask God to forgive them. And that he would, amen, forgive them if they come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He didn't leave us in the dark tonight. If you're not saved, if you'll do what the Bible said, you can leave here tonight saved by God's grace. Amen. Amen. Oh, I believe there's been many debate. I remember one night, me and about eight men had gathered at my mama's house when I was a young preacher, and we were studying about this scripture, and some said, "Well, his new name was a picture of him being saved, and he's still called Saul here in the scripture, so I don't believe he was saved yet." Some said he didn't get baptized to Ananias out there, so I don't believe he got saved yet. But I want to share a couple of things with you tonight with the Lord's help. First of all, when Ananias got there, he called him Brother Saul. Amen. And God had already told him that he had chose him out and to be a chosen vessel unto the Gentiles, unto his people, unto Israel. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I believe what Saul said, "Lord, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." He began to talk to him. He called him Lord. But the scripture was plain. He said not everybody that called him Lord would enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Just because we call him Lord don't mean we're where we need to be with the Lord. Amen. If somebody truly is our Lord, our Savior and our Master, we'll be found, I believe, trying our best to do what he wants us to do.
This is what I believe. I believe at our very best, we're going to come up short. I believe when we try our best to pray, there's going to be times that we don't pray or we don't pray through because we're hindered. Even if you're faithful to the house of God, there'll be days that you're going to be down, and you might be here in this very building and not be here, if you know what I mean. Amen. You might as well just about said that you wasn't here. You wasn't in the meeting. You didn't hear the songs. You didn't hear the message. And it's because we're human. Amen. We're going to have up days. And we're going to have down days. I don't care if you're a preacher, a deacon, a song leader, a prayer warrior, Sunday school teacher. You're still in this world, and you're still in the flesh. And as long as you're in this world, you'll have to battle the desires of the flesh, and you'll have to, Paul said, pressing forward. Amen. This wasn't something that come easy. But he had to push himself to get to the finish line. Praise the Lord. Brother Mal, I didn't start this thing out to quit. Praise the Lord. I want to get to the finish line. Amen. How many of you wants to see the finish line? Say amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, Saul had something amazing happen here. He was on a journey, and as he came near to Damascus, the Bible said, suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and it caused him to, it put him to the ground, if you'd have it. I didn't have anything pushing me to the ground, but I had something made me feel like I needed to get down on the ground. Amen. I had something that touched me in such a way that it humbled me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but he might as well have spoken audibly, because I knew exactly what he was saying to me. Amen. That I wasn't saved, and that I wasn't right with the Lord, and that I needed to come to the altar, and I'd heard the message, and all I had to do was eat to it. Amen. Are you hearing the message tonight? What is it, Lord, that you'd have me to do? Let me just say tonight, according to what I'm reading here, he told him, he said, arise and go into the city. That was the first thing he told him to do. And he said, and then after that, when you're down there in the city, then I'll tell you what else I need you to do. There's no need in God telling us too far in advance what he wants us to do if we're not going to do what he tells us to do today. I don't need to know what's going to happen tomorrow if I ain't going to mind him today. Amen. We're always worried about tomorrow, yet the scripture said, let tomorrow take care of itself. Life is like a vapor, and we're not promised tomorrow. Amen. I don't care how old or young you are. You're not promised to see the sunrise in the morning. You better make sure you're doing what God would have you to do. I remember his mother told him over the wedding. She said, whatever he bids you do, do it. Amen. And they did it. And if you read a lot in the Bible, you know the miracle come after they did what he told them to do. You can't turn water to wine if there ain't nobody going to get any water. Amen. And that's what we're talking about. We want to see a miracle, but are we truly, all of us, if we're not careful, and I'll say me first, if I want to see somebody saved, first I got to preach the right message in the right spirit. It comes in a certain order, and when we do what God has told us to do, then we'll see the results that come from it. Amen. I believe we can all tell sometime, or I can in my own self, if somebody requests me to sing a song, it don't take me about 3 or 4 words, Thomas, to get in a song and tell you whether the Lord's in that song or not. It'd be sometimes I'd like to quit after about the first five or six words, to be honest with you. Because I'm going to tell you something, if the Lord ain't in it, it don't need to be sung. Amen. We're down praying, and we don't feel like we're even in the right frame of mind to pray. Unless you think quickly you can get your mind focused on the Lord, you can stay down there 12 hours or 12 minutes, and you still ain't going to get through unless we get our mind focused on Him, of who we're talking to. Amen. Mallory said this Sunday, and I thought about it. I mean, how do you come before a God like that and talk to Him? I'll tell you, you better come with reverence and a broken heart, and you better come on your face before God. He wants to hear from you as bad as we want to pray. Amen. God wants to hear from us, and I believe with all my heart, it's all the Bible said. He had an experience on the road to Damascus. You know, my experience wasn't on the road to Damascus. My experience was at Bethel Baptist Church. And every time somebody asked me what happened to me, I take them back to Bethel Baptist Church. You know how I know something happened on the road to Damascus instead of down at the house? Every time Paul got to talking about it, he said, well, I was on the road to Damascus. Amen. Praise the Lord. He didn't start talking about the house. He started talking about the experience. Amen. I believe when you get saved, you'll have an experience how to share with other people. Amen. I really do. Said he was trembling and astonished. Said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? I just can't seem to get away from that tonight, because I'll be honest with you, I don't even know that we could call ourselves a Christian, which means to be Christ-like, unless there's a desire down on the inside somewhere that is asking the question, Lord, what is it thou would bid me to do? Amen. You know what Jesus did when he was here? The Bible said he did that to please the Father. Amen. That's the whole reason he came. It was to do what his Father wanted him to do. And some of them had asked him, said, they want to see the Father. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. He's just as much in charge. Amen. Now that he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me, as his Father was while he was in earth, in an earthly body. But he ain't in an earthly body no more. He's in a resurrected body. Amen. I'm glad tonight he's sitting on the right hand making intercession for you and me. Amen. Does he have anybody that has a desire tonight to find out, what is it, Lord, you'd have me to do? What is it, Lord, you'd have me to do? I thought about this. A lot of people want to know, what is it that God wants me to do? They're not even saved yet. There ain't no need in finding out anything else till you get saved. That's the start of it. What I do after I get saved? You get baptized and you get into church. I believe I can back that according to Scripture. Well, what I do after that, then can I come pray and ask him what he wants me to do? No, you need to start studying your Bible and start doing what he's already told us to do. And then, and only then, if we begin to try our best, I didn't say we're always living by the Word, but if we're striving to live according to the Word of God, we can and ask God what he wants us to do. And if you're doing these other things, he'll use you in another area. Amen. I know we're fixed to have officers calling. We just got all of our officers voted in. Just taking these Sunday school classes. And every year we have officers calling. These ones that just got chose, they're going to take these new positions. And I guarantee you, I hope that every one of them feels this way. The question ought to be, Lord, what would you have me to do with this class? Or with this job? Or with a sign? Or with the internet? Or whatever it is that you've got your hands on. What is it, Lord, that you'd have me to do? But I've often said this, and this is what your pastor believes. You don't give somebody a job hoping they're going to get faithful. You give them a job because they are faithful. Amen. That's what it is. And God did that every time he'd find somebody working. You remember when Elijah come by and he had called Elisha to follow him. Brother Matt, you know what he's doing? He wasn't sitting on the porch being lazy. He was out there plowing with his dad's oxen. He was busy working. And you know what I thought about this afternoon? Even though Saul had things mixed up, he was really on fire to try to shut down the church. And God looked down and seen a man that he said, boy, I could use some enthusiasm like that on my team, praise the Lord. He got saved, and the same enthusiasm that he used for the devil was the same way he preached and lived for the Lord. You know what kills me? Then I'll be done. I played softball with men that rattled the cage and shout and holler and get drunk and cuss and Brother Matter and just act like an idiot, be honest with you. And then they get saved and get in church and they can't say amen, hallelujah. They don't never holler out nothing. They're quiet as a mouse. You don't never hear nothing out of them. You know, what happened to that enthusiasm we had when we was in the world? I tell you something, God will treat you a whole lot better in the world. We ought to be more excited about living for Jesus than we was when we was in the world, amen. You might say, well, I believe it ought to be spiritual. I don't think it ought to just be enthusiasm. Go back and read your Bible. He talks about the people having a zeal. You know what that means? They had some enthusiasm about them. They was on fire. Had a skip in their step if you'd have it. I was preaching the other night. I'll share this and I'll be done. I was preaching the other night about the young man that was sitting at the gate called Beautiful. And I'll guarantee you, there's probably ain't no telling how many people went to the synagogue and the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. But he's the first one I read went in there leaping and praising the Lord. He had just got saved. You know, that's what we need more in the house, Lord. We need some leaping and praising the Lord. Just some enthusiasm, some excitement about what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Where would we be tonight? Well, if it wasn't for Jesus. Just think about that just for a minute. Where would we be? We wouldn't be at no Wednesday night meeting, I promise you that. But we're here tonight because we love him. But let's always remember he loved us first. He didn't fall in love with us because we loved him. We fell in love with him because he loved us when we didn't love him. I want to come get a verse of song tonight, and I want to ask you a question. Do you even care to find out what it is the Lord wants you to do? Why are you here? Now, I'm not talking about Welcome Grove. I'm talking about why are we still alive? What is the purpose that God's got for you to still be here? There is a reason. I promise you, if God didn't need you to do something, he'd done took you on the glory land. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I believe there's a lot of things that I thought that Sister Debbie could still be doing if she is here. But I promise you, if God needed her to still do that, she'd still be here, Brother Thomas. But he needed her. I look at Brother Russell Jolly, 48-year-old, and I thought, boy, he could have been preaching a lot of years, Lord. He could have been preaching a lot of people. He could have been seeing a lot of people saved. That's why we're not the Lord. If he still needed to preach, he'd still be here. So you're here. What is it he wants you to do? Let's find that out and let's do it. You know, it could be something just as simple. Something so small. A lot of people in this church, I believe, knows who these men are that I'm fixing to share. You may and you may not know who they are, but you know, a lot of people, they'll down Hollywood and movies and things like that. And I know there's a lot of garbage coming out of that stuff. I promise you. I see it. I hear it. I know what's going on out there. But there's two men. They want to make a difference. They like the movies. John, they said, we're going to make a movie. They took a little old home camera. They made a movie. called Flywheel. Well, nobody watched Flywheel. Nobody cared nothing about Flywheel. I think Flywheel had been out 5 or 10 years before people caught on, these boys that even made this movie called Flywheel. I don't know how few people had seen that movie, but it didn't make it. Then they made another movie with their little home camera called Facing the Giants. Some of you may have seen it, may not have seen it. And where you think it'd be just a small area in life, these boys wanted to make a movie, but they wanted to honor God with it. Something in an area that a lot of people wouldn't be thinking. In church, when I think about church, I think about preachers, deacons, singers, and prayers. I ain't think much about the internet. I ain't thought much about movies. I ain't thought much about the sign ministry. But also, I've read signs my whole life until I start hearing people leave phone messages on the church. It went back when I was a young Christian, but now that I'm a pastor and I hear people leaving messages saying, boy, that sign was a blessing. I read your sign every time I go by your church, and it's a blessing. I was going down the road one day, and something on your sign, it was really what I needed. Sean, don't ever take that sign granted. You realize that what you put on that sign is seen and read by more people than I'll ever preach to? In one afternoon, there'll be more people go up Powder Springs Road, going to work, coming home from work, than will come in this church the rest of this year. One afternoon. So let me just tell you, you better pray, make sure you put the right things on there. If you put something on there like Happy Holidays, people's going to be mad. Because they're mad the world's changing everything to holidays, not saying Merry Christmas. Make sure Christ stays on the sign. Make sure if you're going to put Scripture up there, use King James Version. Amen. Because a lot of people believe that's God's translation. I believe God used those men. I believe I could prove that. But to get back to these men, they made this movie. And they prayed about it, Brother Nick. You've seen it. They prayed about it. And they sent it to Sony. Somebody sent it to Sony. And just the story gives me cold chills. Think about it. They sent it to Sony. And the guy, he said, I'm too busy. He said, I ain't going to have but about 10 minutes for lunch. And they said, well, you promised me one thing. And they said, yeah. And said, will you just watch 10 minutes of it while you're eating your lunch? And he started watching 10 minutes of it. Praise the Lord. And he said, I canceled the rest of my meetings. He watched the whole movie all the way through. He called the Kendrick boys and he said, what do y'all want to do with this movie? And they said, well, we was hoping to get it in theater, in a local couple theater. You know what he said? He said, how about half the theaters across Georgia for a few weeks and we'll see how it goes. Packed out. It started selling like crazy. Then people want to see Flywheel. You know what those boys are doing now? They quit making movies for a while because there's so many people now that started making Christian movies because they seen people wanted clean entertainment. That they've got involved because their name's big. And if somebody hears that they're even involved in a movie, whether they're doing it or not, it automatically goes right to the top and goes and gets seen by millions of people. They're not using a little home video camera anymore. They've donated money to their church. They've built playgrounds for kids and things like that. I've read all kinds of stories about them. But you know who there was? Two brothers in a little church just like this. Think their church started off real small, and now they run into maybe 1,000 or 2,000. But what I'm getting at is something in an area that maybe I ain't even thinking about tonight, that's something small. You know, the things that's meant the most to me, and I hate that it's stopped, and maybe the Lord will move on somebody else's heart, but you only need to do it if the Lord's telling you. But when Debbie started that little Bible study up for the ladies, you know there's people that was coming to that Bible study that don't even come to church here? Some of them was out of church. Coming to the Bible study. And that might have seemed small to somebody else, but she's making a difference in some people's lives, what I'm getting at. And I promise you this, and I'll be done. There is an area in your life where every one of us can make a difference. Some of you know what it is. Some of you can sing. God's given you the talent to sing. You need to use it for Him. Some of you can pray. You need to pray as much as Golly, he said, pray without ceasing. But you need to pray for your pastor. You need to pray for your church. When you know that you can get a prayer through, you need to use that power. Amen. If you got a talent to teach, you need to teach. Don't withhold that information that you have that others are going to need. We could go on and on and on tonight. You got a talent to love people. Just love them. And I want us to rise to our feet tonight. I want to ask you, what is it God wants you to do? What is it the Lord wants you to do tonight? I can't answer that question for you, but I promise you if you'll come and pray and you ask the Lord, He'll let you know. For where we need to be with Him, He'll let us know what we need to do. Come on, Brother Nick, whatever verse or song you got on your heart tonight. How about it? What is it the Lord wants you to do?